Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
Hello, David. Hello, listeners. I'm quite tired as usual.
Good, good. I'm pleased to hear that. Buddy the dog is somewhere around. I don't know where he's gone. He's probably off exploring.
When he gets hot, he goes in the bath, you said.
Yeah, he's weird like that. He doesn't like the bath with water in it, but he will often lose the dog in the flat and then find he's just in the bath in the dark. Is that weird?
Sounds like depression.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, he's perfectly happy in there.
Form of depression.
In there. I think it's when it's a bit hot.
Aren't you supposed to go in the bath as the nuclear bomb comes down, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to do much.
But you're supposed to fill the bath.
I mean, if baths stopped the blast of a nuclear warhead, then I don't think nuclear warheads would be as useful as, you know...
Well, a lot of people don't have it. Not flats, so they don't have baths now.
Just a shower, then you're screwed. The only people left behind in the apocalypse are the people who own a bath.
Well, I think that's, in many ways, it would be a good way of some sort of equilibrium in the community.
Everyone who was staying in a travel lodge, dead.
Yeah. They're baths and travel lodges.
No, showers, aren't they?
I hate that when you go into your hotel room and the pricks don't put a bath in there.
Yeah.
Arseholes.
I don't like baths particularly.
There's certain, if you've been on a long walk, nothing beats a bath.
Mm.
Oh, well, we're not here to talk about personal hygiene.
No, we're not. Before we start, I should say that we're sponsored by Her Film Project.
What is it?
What is it now? It's this is an organisation that helps promote diversity in films. So they started off promoting female voices in films, and they have now branched out to do all sorts of underrepresented groups of people. So if you are interested in what they do, or you would like to see if you're interested, go to herfilmproject.com and follow at herfilmproject on Twitter.
I like to walk around without wearing any pants and trousers. I like to make a film about it, but no one's going to give me any money.
Well, go to herfilmproject.com and they'll say, Marek, what are you doing here? Put some clothes on.
But that's the whole point. I put some clothes on and they say, well, you're not diverse enough.
Oh, right, I say, welcome. You're welcome here with no clothes.
As long as you... We will support you as long as you do not wear pants and trousers for the foreseeable... For the whole of the shoot.
You're trapped in a vicious cycle now.
You could explain your odd behaviour by saying it was to get funding from Her Film Project.
Well, you're trying to game the system now. I'm not sure I approve. There's a real noisy dog fight going on.
It's a menagerie.
It's horrible. This is my life. Grim, isn't it?
Get rid of it, shoot them.
There's so many. It would obviously be me. Like, it would be dead dog, dead dog, buddy. Dead dog, dead dog.
You can see why people kill dogs in films now.
Yeah, really you can.
Oh, let's go on with a film podcast.
All right. Marek has seen a film. Another very contemporary film, I might say.
Well, this is... I mean, it is actually changing now, where...
Yeah.
This is... You're having films... You probably heard this, that are being released on Netflix and streaming channels before the cinema, and they're big. It's a £50 million film.
And I think it's because people just, it's not worth risking a cinema release for a particular kind of film.
Well, Netflix paid for this. Netflix actually funded it.
Did they as well?
It's not one, because they buy films where...
They are a distribution arm. We've talked about it before, but they buy... the rights for exclusive distribution of a film once it is made, but they are getting into production as well.
Yeah, so this was this is Okja, which is the film directed and written by Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah.
And also the screenplay, he got John Ronson in to write it with him.
Oh, did he?
It's made quite a big stir at Cannes. It's a story...
Big Pig.
Yeah, the big Super Pig.
Super Pig.
It's possibly the first film for vegans and vegetarians and all those pricks.
Oh. It's because it came up on my Netflix homepage, as I'm sure it did for most people. And I was like, oh, this looks quite interesting. I looked it up, saw, you know.
I read reviews of it. People at the Cannes saying it was at the cinema. So I always went to go and sit in the cinema.
Right. And then there
and
it
then
was on Netflix.
Literally, I was on Netflix.
Well, they snapped it up at Cannes. I mean, they're wily, aren't they, Netflix?
No, this was basically they put money into this before it got released.
Oh, okay.
So it was. I'm reading from Wikipedia. On November 10, 2015, it was picked up by. They announced that they had the cast. They picked up in November 2015 by Netflix and Plan B Entertainment with $50 million budget, with productions. Yeah, before we started filming in late 2016.
Yeah, okay. So
this is it. This is happening.
It is happening.
The Death of Cinema.
And Paul Dano, your favourite Paul Dano's in it.
Well, yeah, so here it's with...
Do you think it's the Death of Cinema?
I think it's definitely a huge thing when you've got big releases just going out on Netflix straight away. That
I think it's the changing of cinema. Like, I know what we're saying, and I try to have a look at... how I'm feeling about everything and see if it is just things are different now and I'm afraid, or whether it is getting worse. Like, I think there's a link between cinema should be thriving and everyone should be going to the cinema, and I hate the cinema because it's full of everyone, because most people are awful and I hate the ones who are loud and on their phones, yeah, and blah blah. Cinema could survive in a smaller form as a specialist thing for people who truly love it. And I don't think that would be so bad.
Well, I think I'd go to the Pitch House in Crouch End. There's the arsehole dogs next door.
Yeah, and Buddy barking back at them. Lovely.
I go to the Crouch End Pitch House, and I take that back. It only is Death of Cinema. I think cinema has changed. The seats have got nicer.
Mm-hmm.
There's more space. It's a nicer experience.
It's going more, for want of a better word, top end. As in, you pay a bit more. There's possibly they have a smaller demographic, but it is nicer and hopefully higher quality. You know, and whereas television has taken over all of the rest of the territory, which includes streaming, of course, these days. But because people's TVs have got bigger, everyone's got a fucking sound bar under their TVs now, so their sound systems are getting better. What you're getting from going to the cinema has gotten less and less. The territory between the two has gotten smaller and smaller.
Well, it's odd how powerful Netflix are becoming. In the way you think, oh, I hope they don't become sort of the sole distributor of films,
because it's
be
not
terrifying.
Good.
It's
not good for an industry when there's one company calling all of the shots, because they can basically say, well, this is exactly what your labour is worth, and that's then damaging to an industry, isn't it?
But I have to applaud. This is a really weird film.
Okay,
and it's great that Netflix put £50 million into this film. It's great, you know. It's a story. Tilda Swinton is one of a pair of twins, and she owns. She sets up a competition for breeders to grow the biggest super pig.
Okay.
And they want to find out in 10 years' time which one has a super pig, and basically, it's a sort of a front for them selling GM pigs.
So they want an enormous pig so that they can get a lot of meat,
which has as many cuts of meat on it as possible,
right,
and
okay.
Tastes really, really nice.
Okay.
This particular pig, Okja, has been sent to the mountains in South Korea, where it's made friends with a young girl who lives with her grandfather, and they have a lovely time there. It's just them in the mountains.
Yeah, big pig.
Everything's going well. Huh? Who wouldn't want to spend all their lives hanging around with a pig in the mountains?
No, I would.
I would too.
Yeah.
but it's all ruined.
Have you met a pig?
Yeah.
They're nice, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm reading Charlotte's Web at the moment.
Are you?
Never read it. Yeah. About a pig.
Is that about a pig?
Yeah. What was I going to... I went for a walk the other day and I saw a pig as well.
What? Why was there a pig on your walk?
Well, it was in the country.
Oh, right. Was it just one pig?
No, it was with another pig. Hmm. A couple of goats and a pen.
Near my home in York, there's a farm that does piglet races. And they...
That sounds amazing.
They tie little, soft toys, like Taz or SpongeBob, onto the backs of the little piglets, and then they race around a track, and you can sort of not gamble, but you can sort of pick which one you think is going to win.
It starts off fun, but then you start, you know, injecting with steroids and stuff like that,
and you end up with Oncha.
Yeah, doing things so you could racing pigs.
Yeah, I think it's for kids. Basically,
you say that, but there's money involved.
It's illegal piglet races. Anyway, sorry. So disaster. What happens?
Well.
I don't want spoilers.
It's the biggest pig, and they decided to take it back to America.
Okay.
And then there's these aren't really spoilers, and then it's all in the first 10 minutes in the sort of trailer for it. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a sort of weird farmer, who's a guy like Ray Mears type bloke who goes to all the places and sees all these pigs. You know, not Ray Mears.
I don't think that is what Ray Mears
is. No, who's the other one? One of these dickhead animal people who goes around the world. He's one of those. Paul Dano and his crew are sort of environmental animal rights campaigners.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, first of all, this is the first film where the CGI for the pig is absolutely incredible.
Is it?
I'm watching the first scene and the pig's in the mountains and it's underneath a tree and it's sort of, the light's coming through the tree. There's a normal film when the actress is there and the pig's giant pig's next to her. Yeah, and you can see the dappled light moving on the skin of a curved animal.
Yeah. I've found a screenshot of something like it.
And you just think, how the fuck did they... And then it moves away.
The answer to that question is £50 million.
But the CGI is incredible on Okja. So well done to the CGI people, because they have really worked their computers right really hard.
Yeah, risen their computer really
hard. They've got that computer.
Oh, got every last bite out of it.
Baseball! What is a prison button?
And, oh, giant pig.
I mean, someone just must be in charge. The shading or the light person.
I often think it's a real shame when these computer geniuses, these whiz kids, have spent all of this time making this giant pig as realistic as possible, and then all of their models on their computer will now never get used again. It's not like they can just sell a giant pig to someone else to use in their thing. They don't get used again.
I was going, just don't worry about that. I went watching Tintin, and then when Tintin, you know, the CGI Tintin version.
Yes.
And he walked into his room, and there's all the light reflected on the glass of the pictures.
Mm.
And yeah. You think, just don't worry about that, mate. Save yourself.
But then you would end up making films like the Ray Winston Beowulf, where he's incredibly photorealistic and, you know, handsome and oiled and sexy, and the other peasants walking around in the background look like mannequins because they couldn't be asked.
Jeans and t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's another debate entirely, isn't it? So this... If this film felt... It's all about breathing. It's 1 hour and 58 minutes long. It felt far too flabby for me.
Okay.
It felt 40 minutes too long. And it felt as though the director hadn't told the actors to rein it in. I thought the Korean girl who plays the lead, Si Hwan An, was very good. Paul Dano, as usual, playing slightly with Paul Dano. Jake Gyllenhaal plays it so over the top.
Mm.
it's that point where he appears to be enjoying it more than the
audience.
It's just too much, and it makes it really, it is bordering on ridiculous and quite comic.
Right.
A bit like we talked about Baby Driver last week, but I think this misses it. I didn't find
Is it in quite a Chinese style, though, where, you know, you can their clown characters in things can often be huge, can't they?
Well, you could say, I mean, that may be what it is. Yeah. What it is. Here's Jake Gyllenhaal is literally like a cartoon character who's moving his arms about and is so big and absolutely mental. Tilda Swinton plays two characters, and it feels as if she's. The director said, Tilda Swinton's so good, we can't really edit any of her scenes and just let her do whatever she likes.
Yeah.
And I thought she was too much as well. Thought, you know what? This Tilda Swinton whole bit can be 1 minute long, not 8 minutes long. Oh, I know she can do acting. I know she enjoys doing acting, but
yeah.
I don't have to see it. You can just do it at home in front of the mirror and the good bits in the film. Too much, it annoys me. There's too much of just people acting on stage and just watching people. So when you watch Bonnie Langford do musicals when you're a kid and you want to think, oh, I really stop showing off, just do the minimum. Do the minimum amount needed.
Is that your motto in life?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got good reviews. Some people really loved it and given it 5-star reviews.
Right.
I've seen 3-star reviews. I would give it 5 Marics.
Okay.
Because it's too long.
Which is a 2.5-star review.
Yeah, and I think towards it sort of builds momentum towards the end. It just sort of doesn't know whether it's an action film or a sort of moral film. There are too many characters in it, too many sort of. The whole Tilda Swinton running the business thing doesn't really work. I'll be really interested to see what our listeners have to say about it, but I thought. I was surprised if that $50 million has gone on it, and it feels like they've been quite. And the details had to go into the CGI. The work to do all that, yet some of the editing and direction on the acting feels quite loose, and that he's probably gone, yeah, just do what you like.
Right.
Whether that's a nationality thing, where it was like a Korean director working with, I don't know if he's an English speaking director, I don't know. Maybe that doesn't.
Is it in English?
It's in English, and there's bits that are in Korean as well. I thought it was a fascinating film, an interesting. Film about a subject that feels very modern, you know, about what.
Well, the meat industry is going to be more and more of an issue as, you know, environmental factors and the population blooms because it's just unsustainable as it is.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is probably ahead of the curve and maybe will be watched again and people went, oh, that was ahead of its time.
I think it's very net. It's a real sort of zeitgeisty film and really odd film. I just hoped, I thought it would be more. Clever and a bit more less of high farce in places without ever really being funny.
Does it feel like it's authored? Does it feel like it is its own thing, or does it feel like it's sort of been constructed in a planning meeting and the disparate elements don't quite come together?
I just think it's just hasn't really fired in all cylinders.
Right.
It just doesn't. It's a good idea.
So there's some skill in some areas, and then less so in others.
It's a really hard film to do, though.
Right.
To do a super pig raised in Korea that's been brought to America with animal. It's quite a complex plot.
I mean, I'd just remake Crocodile Dundee with a super pig. That's what I'd do.
Well, you can't beat Crocodile Dundee.
You can't. It's brilliant. I mean, the scene where he's crawling over the all the commuters on the subway would be hard to do with a super pig. He'd just crush them, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, be hard to do.
At the end, the lovely scene.
You just use the phone now, wouldn't you? Mobile phone.
These days.
Just text someone.
I bet the super pig can't maybe, read. Maybe so actually, that gets rid of the mobile phones destroy cinema thing. If all characters are super pigs, they can't use phones anyway.
Well, why don't you write in? Oh, yeah.
About what?
About something.
Okay, fine.
Here we go, time for this bit.
Oh, right, that's what you were doing. That's what you're doing, okay.
I'm bored of myself talking about this.
Oh, fine. It's time for this.
Some people like writing letters, we like reading them out.
Here's a letter from Connor, who says, Dear David, Marek, Buddy and Guest. You'd be lucky, Connor. You recently said there were very few good westerns. I would point you towards High Noon. It has 96% on Rotten Tomatoes and is just amazing. The more you know about film, the more you get out of it. First off, it's set in real... Sorry. The more you know about the film, the more you get out of it. First off, it's set in real time. So as you're waiting for High Noon and the doom of the hero to arrive, you feel the tension build just as he does. Second, it was made slap bang in the middle of the McCarthy era, so has allusions to the paranoia and terrified self-interest that abounded at that time. Keep it out. Check it out.
Keep it out?
Check it out and keep watching the film. So he jumps ahead.
That's a good new...
Keep it out. Keep it out. That sounds sexual. Thank you, Connor. High Noon. Have you seen High Noon?
Yeah, this is the old black and white film, which is, I think, I reviewed a while back. Yes, it's great.
1952.
Yes. It's got Gary Cooper, who was the big star around the time, and the stunning Grace Kelly in it.
Oh, and it's got Lloyd Bridges.
And Katie Girardot, who's quite the hot. I reviewed it a while back. It's just a great... It's just... You basically just got a countdown to the bad guys coming into town.
Yeah.
And it just gives you... It gives you that... time, you know. It just gives you a great point for the whole film.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All the acting's great. The whole thing's great. It is a very good classic western. Okay. Here's a letter from Cullen. Tony Erdman. Dear buddy David and Merrick. I'm about halfway through watching Tony Erdman. I can't bother to tell you what it's about, but I'm really enjoying it. It's all German and has subtitles, so Merrick might like it. Have either of you been to Germany? I went to Berlin once, but I had an earache, so I didn't really enjoy it. Keep watching those films, Callum. And that is the sort of email
that
I like.
That is what we like. That's what we want, really, guys. Have you ever been to Germany, Merrick?
Yes, I have. I've been a couple of times. I went to see an old university friend in a place called Heidelberg.
Yes.
Which is a fantastic, beautiful town.
Good. So we did what? Historical old town.
Historical old
town.
So
we didn't bomb it. Oh, that's good.
Didn't bomb it. And I went to Berlin, which I...
We bombed that.
We fucked that place.
We fucked that place.
Berlin, New York, probably my two favourite places.
Yeah, I've never been to Berlin.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I'd love to go to Berlin. My play that was on last week is set in Berlin, and I was Googling it and wandering around the street view to try and get ideas of where things were. I went on a Western Front trip, so I've been on like to the graveyards of the mass graves of both Allies and Axis forces, and then. In all the trenches that are still there and all of that stuff. It's all quite harrowing, yeah.
Best thing within Berlin was we hired bikes, and because the drivers aren't arseholes like they are over here, we're just cycling around, just going to, you know, go to the Reichstag, going to Berlin Wall, seeing these amazing buildings.
Yeah.
Just absolutely incredible. Then you said postcards of what it was like during the Second World War. I can't remember what the place just bombed to shit, You see, you put it up, an old postcard of it bombed to shit compared to your view of it now. It's quite jaw dropping, actually.
I
really like Germany, and the German sort of just a bit like the British, but just slightly better.
Well, that's certainly been their opinion for a good
years. I think it's quite justified. Here's a letter from Tom Saunders, another Wolfsburg player. All the Wolfsburg players are writing in, aren't they?
They're very chatty people. Tom Saunders, on the subject of a non-Jack Black, Jack Black film. Intriguing.
Oh, we talked about how we found them annoying, didn't we?
I think so. He says, "Hello friends, just a quick email inspired by the Jack Black conversation in episode 294. If you're interested in seeing a Jack Black film where Jack Black doesn't play Jack Black, I recommend The D Train, also called Bad Bromance in some countries. It's a dark comedy about a man dissatisfied with his ordinary life who decides that if he can get the coolest guy from school to come to their high school reunion, that he'll be the local hero he wants to be. It's reviewed quite poorly, but I wonder if that's because people were expecting a screwball comedy where Jack Black mugs around, singing rude songs. In fact, it's more of a drama about what can happen to a perfectly ordinary man who takes his, frankly lovely, life for granted and starts to strive for the ultimate illusion idea of being special. It's well worth a watch, particularly for the pivotal scene out in LA when Jack Black's burgeoning bromance with the high school legend is pushed to its extremes. I'm not sure if I recommend it as such, but I'm glad I watched it and would probably watch it again. If you can find it for free, definitely give it a watch, but I'm not sure it's worth the £6.99 that it seems to be on most streaming services at the moment. Keep W-ing the F's, Tom. I mean, it sounds like a screwball comedy. Either Bad Bromance or The D-Train.
Maybe it's a screwball comedy, but they didn't have any jokes in it, so it comes across as a serious film.
Yeah. If I was in a comedy that had no jokes, I'd probably just play it more and more serious.
I think I spoke to Tom about, he is doing a podcast as well, but I can't remember what it was, so I said I'd talk about it, but I can't. My memory's so ruined, I can't remember what I said.
Oh, so do you think he's written in to try and coax you into talking about his podcast? I don't
know, sorry, Tom. Tom Saunders is doing a podcast. Look it up.
Yeah. All right. Any more?
Well, do you know what?
What? We run out.
It looks like there's one more. Here we go. It's another film about the film we talked about last week, but we got the email before it came. We recorded the thing before the man did the thing.
It's a beautiful story.
This email was
sent
before we talked about The Circle last week, but we're reading it after this. We've published the podcast, so I don't want this person to look like they're stupid.
Okay, so this is from Matt Ray, and he says, "Dear Film Fandango, I recently watched The Circle starring Tom Hanks and Emma Watson." What Marek is saying is that's the one we talked about last week. "Although the premise looked good, an all-seeing tech company that is not all it seems, this movie seemed rushed with not enough character development and major plot details skimmed over. As soon as the first credits rolled, I thought, that would make a good book. And there it was, based on novel written by Dave Eggers. So David and Marek, have you ever sat through a film thinking, I bet the book's so much better? Catch it on Netflix if you're a Tom Hanks completionist, but otherwise pass. Five mats. Keep up the good work. Are either of you involved with anything at this year's Fringe? Best, Matt Ray." Well, The Circle, we talked about it last week. Five seems generous from what you said.
Well, my review is basically just shouting out his shit.
Yeah, that was your review. Ever sat through a film thinking it's probably a better book?
Occasionally some sci-fi films.
Yes.
Where you think, obviously, this is more... Or a fantasy, sort of epic film where you know... I normally know there's a book of it already.
Yeah.
And when you see an hour and a half film, you think, well, the book is almost always better.
Well, because it's a different medium, isn't it?
Because my imagination is so powerful.
It's so vivid.
And everyone has always got their tits or dick out.
That's right. And they just tend not to do that in films.
No.
Why is that?
Well, it's crazy. In my mind...
I mean, you've got both your tit and dick out right now.
But the problem is when they say they're going to get their dicks out in the book, that's when my imagination really is a problem, because they've already...
You stop reading and have a good think about it for a while, and then carry on reading.
I just go, give them two dicks.
So there's a lot of classic novels that are very different when you read them.
Well, yeah, because tits, they're all...
Tits and dicks. Yeah.
There must be someone who reads books and permanently imagines everyone with a dick out.
Yeah,
other than me.
It's you, isn't it?
Other than me.
Well, I don't know.
Why not write in and share? I mean, we've run out of letters now.
Yeah.
So, if you...
Are we going to the Edinburgh Fringe was the last question there before we move on. No. Marek?
Let me have a think. Absolutely not. I can't think of anything... I would less rather do.
Yeah. I'll be gigging in London in August, so come here.
Have you seen something?
I have. I saw a film that I didn't really read much about at the time when it was in the cinema. It's now on streaming services. It's a film called Split, and all I knew about it was that it stars James McAvoy and Anya Taylor-Joy. And James McAvoy plays a guy with split personality disorder, because that's in the trailer.
I saw a few trailers for
exactly
this.
And it doesn't give much away. But
it seems quite quick between the cinema release and the release to...
Yeah, it came out last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out last year, but it's... Anya Taylor-Joy is the lead in The Witch, which I talked about as well before. She's fairly new. But
we're looking at a picture of her now.
There she is.
She's got quite a distinctive face.
She does, doesn't she? Quite a Scandinavian.
Yes.
But it turns out I was in for a surprise with Split because...
You were in it.
I was in it, Marek. It was just me. Just, it was quite a black screen. It was just me sat on a sofa watching for 2 hours.
You have to, what was a surprise?
Maybe I didn't turn my telly on.
Oh, David.
The surprise was, this film is actually an M. Night Shyamalan film.
Oh, great.
Which I did not know at the time. So when that came up at the beginning, I was like, oh.
And how did you feel? Pleased? Or did you also have to think this is going to be a really massive concept slide ruined in one way?
I felt both rising dread and slight titillation of, oh, this might be enjoyably shit.
Or can you guess the twist within 1 minute?
I tried and I got it wrong.
Is there a twist?
That the whole
film is based upon.
Yes.
That is a classic. That's his main thing, isn't it?
That's his only thing.
If you work out the twist, you might as well just turn off the TV and watch.
So basically, this is James McAvoy plays a character who called. What's he called? He's got 23 personalities living in his head, and they've all got different names. And
in England, I am Peter. In France, I am John Paul.
What's that right?
That's a reference to a 1980 television programme called The Storyteller, and that was the theme tune to it. Maybe about two people will get a reference.
Oh, good. Well, he kidnaps three girls, basically, in a car park.
And which him? The same him? The same bad him? Or
well, you did spoilers, but you know.
Oh, okay.
And he imprisons them in somewhere, we don't know where they are, but in this sort of a dingy basement like all these guys do, you know. And then they try and work out what the hell's going on, what he wants, because he doesn't seem to, you know, it's not the usual sort of sex thing, it's something else. And they're super freaked out because he keeps coming in as different people.
Are they all together, these people?
They are at first and then they get separated. But he keeps talking about the beast and all of this stuff. And it's a character piece psychological thriller. It's trying to be a bit Silence of the Lambsy.
Is he good, James McAvoy?
James McAvoy is always good. But there's just something in the conceit of watching a well-known actor playing somebody who is playing lots of different people that comes off a bit like you're watching somebody's one-man fringe show. Because you can't help but see the acting. Because it's James McAvoy. Like, if it was an unknown, then we wouldn't know which was the real him. Do you know what I mean?
What would you have as your other ones in?
What, my other characters?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have Clive, the bookish accountant man.
Yeah.
And I'd have Lulu Bell.
Oh, dressing up one.
Yeah. What?
Dressing up one.
Yeah, that's just the dressing up mute girl.
She's the scariest.
Yeah. I'd have Krug, the barbarian.
That's overlord. A good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have Fishy Joe.
Oh, I don't want to meet Fishy Joe.
Oh, he's a card. Yeah.
Isn't there a nice one?
Nice one?
Yeah.
Fishy Steve.
Okay.
Fishy Steve's nice.
He sounds quite good. You could be in Split too.
Yeah, kid. But, I mean, I really want to tell you the twist. I really, really want to tell you the twist because you'll be so angry. You'll be so angry.
No, because I've got to watch it.
You don't. It's not good. Not a good film.
Well, what point do you find out the twist?
Right at the end. Once the film's ended, basically. Like, to M. Night Shyamalan's credit, I don't know how to pronounce his name, and I feel bad about that, but to his credit, he picks his idea, and he sticks to it, and he makes out like it's brilliant. Do you know what I mean? The script, and the direction, and the acting, and everything is 100% selling his idea. Like, it's not like, well, we'll sort of do that, but we'll just make it like every other film. He doesn't do that. He makes it his own film. And fair play to him for that, I think. He just happens to have terrible ideas.
It's really weird. I quite enjoyed the Village one when I saw it the first time.
It's all right, isn't it? It's a bit tough.
But if he had just died after The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got his cameo in this again, where he's got a really ostentatious scene where he's front and centre, like he always does. Like, it's like taking the Hitchcock cameo.
I think that's why.
But instead of him being somewhere in the background for people to spot, he's right there at the front.
And that is why. I think that is why he's laughed at more.
Yeah.
Because of his sort of big part cameos.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is he playing the cameo in this one? A psychologist or something?
Yeah, he's like a CCTV. I don't know, like master, like finding, searching through all the stuff and helping.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's got some interesting ideas, to be fair to it, but it's nonsense, and it descends into further nonsense, and then by the twist, it's just like, oh, fuck it out. I'm going to tell you. Can I tell you?
We need to do a spoiler.
Yeah, guys, seriously, huge spoilers, although people have probably been talking about it online already because it came out last year. Please do jump ahead by 40 seconds.
Well, we're going to just... Okay, you're gone.
If you don't want to hear it. All right? I'm going to say it. Turns out this is the origin story of a supervillain, and at the end, Bruce Willis appears as his character from Unbreakable, and this is the second in a trilogy. So it ends up being, I've been watching a superhero film the entire time.
What?
Yes! So basically, James McAvoy does turn into a super-powered creature at the end.
Oh, God!
I know, I was so disappointed. Because I hated Unbreakable.
That's a con.
It's a real con, yeah. Because you're expecting a Silence of the Lambs-style psychological thriller about a damaged murderer, and you get this instead.
Oh, so you're making another one?
The third one is called Glass.
Oh, what a cock. What a cock.
Yeah.
I really hope they came in on that point of me just showing what a cock. How many David would you give it?
Oh, it's hard to know because it's sort of enjoyable and there's something there trying to get out. And James McAvoy's very watchable and Anya Taylor-Joy's very good in it, but it is shit. Six? Five? I don't know, five.
There we go. I was going to say to you, I watched the start of Jurassic World the other day because it was on Netflix as well. And is there a point where you know that someone's definitely going to get killed in the film?
Oh, in Split?
In any film.
In any...
So Jurassic World, basically everyone knows dinosaurs going to escape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a bloke who's basically running the guy who was watching the screen, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's overweight. He's got a white hat on.
And you go,
he's eating a hot dog, a sandwich. Unnecessarily eating a sandwich, like constantly eating this sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sort of quite lazy and shit. And literally from the very first thing, you are 100% going to get killed within 5 minutes.
And does he?
Yeah, of course he does.
He does, yeah. In Split, no, because it's not about that. It is, it starts as a proper psychological thriller. And it remains so for most of it, and then it has this weird supernatural turn. And
oh no, I was just talking. I've given up talking about Split.
Oh, fine.
I was talking about general. Is
general
there,
people dying?
I mean, if someone's eating a sandwich in a monster film,
yes.
If they're definitely going to get killed.
If anyone is exhibiting the non-specific Christian American dream version of who we should be, dead. So obese, dead.
Yeah.
But
anyone. Eating a sandwich in a horror film dies.
Yeah, because eating is gross, right? That's
yeah,
why.
But they couldn't have made it any more obvious that he was going to die.
Yeah.
Because he was lazy, because he was eating a sandwich on the job.
Yeah, lazy people die. Lazy people die. Rude people die in 80s films. I don't know if rude people still die. Probably.
Sandwich eaters die. If you ever get a job at a dinosaur park...
Don't eat a sandwich.
Eat at the cafe... For lunch, don't eat sandwiches on the job.
If you go to the toilet, you die.
Lots of people die in the toilets.
No hero goes to the toilet and then comes out at the end and you say, sorry about that, I just had to go, and then they carry on the film. That never happens. You only go to the toilet to die.
So basically, what they're doing is as an unwritten rule, they're trying to stop people and become more efficient by encouraging people not to eat at their desks and not to go to the toilet.
But they're discouraging basic human function. So if you eat, you die. If you shit, you die. It's an old horror movie trope that if you are slutty and have sex with someone, you die. So sex, food, excretion.
Anything in the office that talks... If you're in the office and you go to the toilet or you eat food, you're likely to die. So that's trying to get workers...
That's true.
...to stop, to be more productive at work and do their eating and excretion at home. And it's in every film. It's def- we have just uncovered...
The biggest conspiracy of our time.
...of the 20th and 21st. A conspiracy that has now spanned two centuries.
If you drink coffee, you're fine. So that goes with your theory. As again, it's like, if you get tired, just have coffee and you'll survive this horror film of your life in an office.
If you have uncovered any huge brainwashing that underwrites every single film in American culture,
why not write to us? Go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there. We'd love to hear your rambling conspiracy theories about films. And also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to contribute towards our not insignificant running costs, then again, go to filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.